Thank you, Pastor Rob. Just a note for the deacons that are here this morning, I need to see you after the service right down here in the front. So just come meet with me, deacons. It is great to be home. It was, I think I drove like 4,500 miles in the last 2 weeks. And it's a 36-hour drive from here to Louisville, Kentucky. But it was worth it to be with my kids and my grandsons. And as you said, we brought three of them home, and they're going to just have a great time these next couple weeks. They're going to go to the kids' camp that Pastor Lucille will be taking your children on. So they're excited to be able to go to camp. They're going to Disneyland. They're going to the beach. You know, they're going to have some fun. So out here with us, and it's great. Grandkids are the best. Amen. They're a lot of fun. So we really enjoy them, guys, and it's just a blessing to have them here. Family is a blessing. Amen. Family can be tough. Family can give you the biggest trials of your life, but it doesn't matter. Family is still a blessing. Amen. And we just, you know, sometimes you got to knock down, drag them out, bust them up, but they're still family. Amen. And you just keep moving forward with family. And family can be probably our biggest challenges, but the most fun too. Amen. Because you love your family, you know, no matter what, at the end of the day, you just love your family. So it's exciting to see my grandsons and their love for Jesus. And they're just, you know, I'm trying to get them to break through to pray in tongues, you know. I can't do that yet, Papa. I'm like, come on. Laying hands on them. Start praying in tongues. All right. They say, well, I'll just repeat after you. I go, no, don't repeat after me. Just pray in the Spirit. They're like, okay. But they're going to get it. Hallelujah. Because I'll take them, man. And I get in the car with them. I say, all right, everybody pray in tongues. And they look at me like, And you know, they wanted to come to Friday night prayer. It was just a blessing to have them. And Nehemiah wanted to pray for his parents at home. I wish you would want to do that. Come to Friday night prayer to pray for those people that you know need. It's an hour to come and to just intercede. We interceded for our city and families, for all the pastors this week. It's a little bit of going out of the way. It's a Friday night interruption. You say, oh, can't you pick another night? No, I pick Friday night. That's the night I do it, man. Because that's the priority of my life is prayer. So come on out on a Friday night, and let's pray together. How many of you have been going through some things? Come on, man. Prayer changes things. You've seen the sign, haven't you? Prayer changes things, amen? Come on, let's intercede. How many got unsaved family? Let's get in and pray for them. Let's intercede for them together. I don't care if we bring their pictures and we paste them up on the wall. Let's pray for them, amen? Let's do that. Let's bring their picture. Let's put them on the wall, on that wall in the prayer room there, and let's just start crying out to God for them. Because listen, if you really believe that Jesus is coming, do you want to get there and they're not there with you? What will Jesus say to us? Will Jesus say, hey, I gave you opportunity. I gave you challenges. I gave you chances. What'd you do with it? Because that's what's going to happen. So we, the people of God, have got to come awake to interceding and believing God for what he said. He says, me and my whole household shall be saved. Amen. I got a big household. It goes from here to Kentucky. Amen. Amen. So from Kentucky and in between and Riverside and my little brothers in Kentucky, I got one in San Jose. I got a sister's in Bullhead City and Yucca Valley out there. I mean, that's my house. That's where my household is. I have a big God. But I have family that needs Jesus. Come. Let's start interceding. Let's really believe for them. Let's trust God. Let's just approach that throne of grace and believe God for great things. Amen. Because God wants to do great things. God, listen, we're not waiting on God. God is waiting on us. God's done his part. God has sent the Holy Spirit. God has empowered us by the Spirit. God has sent Jesus to the cross so that we can be forgiven of our sins, healed of our diseases, experience the peace. We don't have to wait on God to do something. God is waiting on us to do something. God is waiting on us to get tired of the way things have been in this life and to step up into what he has called us to what he has designed us for. God is calling the people of God to rise up to be the army of God. That we just stop waiting and taking it. You don't have to take it. You don't have to take what the enemy's throwing at you. Rise above it. You don't have to stay angry. You don't have to stay sick. Rise above it in the Spirit. Amen. God wants to do great and mighty things in you and through you. It's just when the people of God get a hold of it, Pastor Jesse, and say, I'm not taking it anymore. And then they rise up and they start going with Jesus. Because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take the people, not just the people at New Hope. I'm talking about the body of Christ. We've got to rise up to the occasion. If you really believe Jesus is coming, what are you doing? What are you doing with it? Because Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming back. And I know some of you guys have heard it for a long time. You've been told all your life, Jesus is coming, get ready or you're going to go to hell. Pastor Dave can tell you stories how he was at the altar every Sunday night committing his life to Jesus because he's afraid that he did something wrong during the week. We don't do that anymore. We don't have that fear. We've heard that Jesus is coming for so long that it's like, okay. And we just think everything's okay. And we're just floating through this life. Man, you got to stop floating. You got to start pushing. You got to start coming after it. You got to get on your face. You got to call out to God. You got to start believing for greater things than what's been happening in your life. You got to start believing and trusting in the Word of God, that God wants to do great things in you and through you. You are a believer in Jesus. God has great things for you. It's not just for the pastor, the evangelist, the apostle, the prophet, the teacher that God wants to move through. God said, for those that believe, I will do great things through. He said, you'll lay hands on the sick, they recover. He said, you'll speak in new tongues. He said, you'll cast out demons. This is God's plan. It's not something that we should be saying, well, God, when you're ready. No, he's been ready. He sent Jesus 2,000 years ago. He was ready then. He said, I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And he sent the Spirit. Amen. And now all we've got to do is respond to the Spirit. Respond to God. Respond to what he is saying. Respond to what he wants us to do. Amen. Stop holding back. We sing that song. You know, no fear. Forget the words to it. Exactly, but pretty much says, you know, I'm not afraid. So don't be afraid, amen? Step out. Step out. Tell your neighbor. When we talk about VBS, hey, listen, this is a great opportunity to invite all your neighborhood kids to church. We'll give you flyers. We'll give you tickets. We'll give you whatever you need to get them kids there. We'll give you a bus. Whatever it takes, you got to get that spirit of whatever it takes. I'm going to see the kingdom come. I'm going to see God's will be done in my life as it was been designed in heaven. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to reach out. I'm going to touch somebody for Jesus this week. I'm going to disciple them. I'm going to raise them up. I'm going to baptize them in water one day. You got to get it in you. You got to get on fire. That he says, I baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. You've got to be on fire for Jesus and reach out. We can't just take it anymore. We can't just kick back and say, oh, you know, it's okay. Yeah, I know Jesus is coming. Yeah, I believe Jesus is coming. No. Man, if you really believe Jesus is coming, what are you doing? What are you doing? Because I believe he is coming. I believe he is coming. I believe he's coming back. And when he comes back and that trumpet sounds, maybe half of the church will go. Maybe half. You just read the parable of the 10 virgins. I've been reading the red while I was gone. I read the red. I only made it through the book of Matthew. There's a lot of red in the book of Matthew. But I've been reading the red. But, you know, I skipped all the black writing and I just read the red. I just read what Jesus said. And you know the one thing he said in Matthew to us? He says it like five times. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't say one thing and do another. Don't come to church and act like you're a Christian and go out there and act like the devil the rest of the week. Don't be a hypocrite. He says that like five times in the book of Matthew. I'm like, that is the thing that jumped out to me the most out of the book of Matthew. I mean, I love blessed are the poor. I love all that stuff. Forgive and you shall be forgiven. But he says, don't be a hypocrite. He's real strong. And so I challenge you, don't be a hypocrite. Amen. Live the kingdom of God to the fullest extent. Live in freedom. That's the title of my message today. I haven't started it yet, but that's the title, freedom. Live in the freedom of who Jesus is in you so that you can be all that he's called you to be. Amen? Because that's what we've got to do. It's time to rise up. So why don't you rise up and let's read together Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. And we'll get this in our spirit. Free, it says, everybody say free.
Free.
From indwelling sin. That's so weak, man. Come on. Free.
Free.
From indwelling sin. Verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteousness requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray your word would just strike a chord in our hearts today. That, Lord, that we would not only hear it, but we'd live it and breathe it, Father God. We'd receive the freedom from sin, Father God, and Lord, we'd walk as righteous men and women of God, walking in the Spirit of God. Lord, that you give us an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying, and Lord, that we'd be transformed by that hearing in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. You know, it starts off, it says, there is therefore, and that therefore is there for a reason. The previous chapters in Romans there explain the redemptive work of salvation. It explains how we're saved, what happens. So since we're saved, and if you believe this, and you've responded to salvation by confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart, you are not under condemnation. Maybe you like condemnation. You are not under condemnation. You're not under condemnation. The enemy, listen, if you believe in Jesus, you receive what he's done for you. The enemy has no hold on you to condemn you. When you're walking with Christ, your fleshly nature is being buried, and your spirit man, that which is connected to God, is rising. The tide of death and destruction is broken. Amen? That's what we talked about when we talked about Romans 6. We go under the water in baptism. The old man is dying. Amen? It symbolizes our death. And then we're being resurrected in Jesus Christ. Amen? It no longer has a hold on you except what you allow. But maybe that's the problem. That which we allow is the issue. The things we allow into our life is an issue. As I said a few weeks ago, if you don't hate it, you'll do it. When Delonda asked me, how are you going to protect yourself that you don't have an affair? I said, well, you know, and I told her all these safeguards I have in place for my life. And she says, that's not good enough. You got to hate it. If you don't hate it, you'll do it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it. See, because, it's just like I hate peas, so I don't eat peas. I remember old June Mahaffey. She loved peas. She made me a pea salad one time, and I didn't know it. And I stood up here, I said, I hate peas. And she almost didn't come to the church picnic because that's what she made for me for lunch was a pea salad. It's like, I'll eat it no matter what, June. But you stay away from what you don't like, amen? You avoid it. You put stuff in place, you know. You just don't do it. But if you don't hate it, you'll entertain it. And if you entertain it, then you'll find yourself doing it. So we've got to take the things that the enemy's trying to throw at us, and we've got to take authority over them and stop entertaining them. Amen? Learn how to transfer my mind. Oh, when the thought comes in, learn how to cast it down. Learn how to change my thinking. They say, whoa, where'd that come from? Get out of my mind. And right away, just transfer over to thinking about the Word of God, thinking about Jesus, whatever you got to do to cast down that imaginative thought that's trying to steer you in the wrong direction. Don't entertain it. Don't think about it. Don't try and dream about it. Get it out of your life. Romans 12:2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Everybody say transformed. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, so transformed is metamorpho in the Greek, which is where we get the word metamorphosis. So it means to transform literally. Metamorphose, to change, to transfigure, to be transformed, to transform. So the idea, if you put up that next slide, is like that of a caterpillar. A caterpillar, this is a metamorphosis. The caterpillar goes and then it gets in the cocoon and then it comes out totally transformed. It's a metamorphosis process. It's not evolution, it's a metamorphosis. It's a biblical word, transformation. That's what this is. The next slide, so that we can be beautiful. The metamorphosis, how a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. So when we become that butterfly, we're no longer a slug on the ground, amen? We're able to soar. We're able to fly. When that transformation takes place in our life, we don't have to just crawl across a branch or on the ground. Now we can begin to soar. And it's spiritually, God is calling us to begin to soar, to be transformed so that we can begin to soar with what God has for us. Because, listen, we're not under condemnation. We're transformed. And you say, yeah, but I still get thoughts, and I still do things wrong. Listen, you'll always stay that way if you stay with that mentality. You got to get it in your heart that I'm transformed. You've got to change your thinking to say, okay, I'm transformed. This is not me anymore. This is not who I am. I cast this down. You got to learn to take authority over those thoughts that are bombarding you, because they're bombarding you from every direction. I know, you know, Delana's just been doing so good, and she's trying to eat right on everything, you know. And my grandsons last night were, on one side of the table all eating ice cream. Me too, but you know. But they're all eating ice cream. And Delana's sitting there and she goes, I can't look at this porn anymore. Because that's what it's got to be. It's got to become something that's repulsive to you. And that's what sin has got to be, repulsive to you. I'm not gonna look on this anymore. So with this transformation in our lives, there's no way we walk under condemnation. We don't walk under condemnation. When we're transformed, we're now walking in the Spirit. Amen? Or simply put, we're being obedient to God and His Word. We're just being obedient to Him. Not out of obligation, not for salvation, but out of love. You just say, I love you, Jesus. I receive your love. See, we love because He first loves us. Because we receive the love of God, now I'm in love with Jesus, and now I don't want to do things that offend Him. You know, it's just like, I don't want to do things that offend my wife. Sometimes I say stupid stuff. And I always tell her, I said, number one, know that I always love you. And I never want to offend you. Number two, when I do offend you, go back to number one. I always love you and never want to offend you. Because if you can just stick with that number one, we'll be good. It's never my intent. And so, you know, with God, it's never my intent to quench the Holy Spirit in my life. It's never my intent to offend God. It's never my intent to fall into sin. It's never, that's not my intention, because I've been transformed, amen? We've been transformed, so we're not looking to go there. It is very powerful what Jesus has done for us. And we have to stop letting the enemy beat us up over what we've done. We all have a past. We've all done things wrong. But we can't let the enemy keep condemning us and holding us back because of what we've done. Because when we come into Christ Jesus, it's not accounted for anymore. Amen? You go to God, you talk about your past, and He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Because when you bring it to the Lord and you ask for forgiveness, He's like, there's your page. This might have been your page. Your story, and then He erases it, and you start again. You get right in line with His path, not your own. Even it may have been just yesterday. You're saying, well, you know what I did yesterday? It doesn't matter what you did yesterday. You put it under the blood of Jesus, it's done, amen? And we can move forward. The key to it is walking in the Spirit. What does that mean? People say walk in the Spirit, we think of duty, don't we? We go right away to duty. If I said, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Well, read the Word of God. Pray. Worship. Now, that's all part of walking in the Spirit. But walking in the Spirit, when I decided I was going to marry Delanda, now, I walk with Delanda, but there's no duty involved. I love her. I'm just with her. I have relationship with her. Whether I'm reading with her, whether I'm talking with her, whether I'm just sitting together staring in each other's eyes, it doesn't matter. We're together, amen? Walking in the Spirit is not an obligatory thing. It's walking in the Spirit is a relational thing. Walking in the Spirit is, I love Jesus. I'm in love with Jesus. Just like I would walk with Delanda and no other. Because she's my wife. Jesus wants us to walk with Him and no other. He's our Father. And He doesn't want us to have that outside relationship with other things that take us away from Him. Delanda does not want me to have outside relationship with other women that take me away from her. She doesn't want me to have outside relationship with other people that take me away from her. She wants me around. She likes to keep me around. She loves it when I'm home. She loves it when we talk. She loves it when we can just sit there and relax together. You know, we can sit there and watch a movie together, but I'll be on my phone. She's like, we're not together in this. because I have another attention. Does God have your attention? See, walking in the Spirit is learning to be with God all the time. Learning to be aware that He's with you. And that there's no other that can get in the way. When we got married, I gave the Lord a ring. And when we do a wedding, as a pastor, we talk about the ring, how it's a complete circle. And we say that it shall not be broken by any outside forces. Amen. But it stay complete. And as long as that ring is not broken, we're together. Amen. And see, we have to know that we have a relationship with Jesus that no one can break, that no one can interfere with. That's walking in the Spirit. It's not duty. Now listen, I read my word every day. I pray all the time. I worship all the time. And that's just part of my relationship with Him. But it's not a dutiful thing. It's because I love Him. You know, I read my word because I want to know more about Him. I'm reading the red because I want to know what He said. Well, that's poetic. I want to know what He said to me. And like I said, in Matthew, He said, don't be a hypocrite. Don't say one thing and do another. Don't come to church and act all Christian-y and then go out in the world and act like the devil. See, that's not walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, J.R., is like I serve the Lord here, I serve the Lord out there. I pray here, I pray out there. I worship here, I worship out there. Amen. I'm just walking Spirit. I have a relationship. I talk with Him here, I talk with Him there. I hear Him here, I hear Him there. Most of my time of hearing from the Lord is when I'm laying in my bed at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. It's not here at the altar. It's not me running somewhere. It's Him waking me up saying, let's talk. It's like, yes, Lord. That's walking in the Spirit. That's having a relationship that no one can break, that no one can interfere with. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So learning to walk in the Spirit is letting Christ live through you, letting Him shine through you, letting Him speak through you. You know, as He said in Joshua 1:8, don't let this word depart from your mouth. Always keep it on the tip of your tongue. Let the word of God be on the tip of your tongue. Let it always be there. And as I read the word, I discover more of Christ. And where less of me has to happen. I think that's, you know, we're never going to get there till we get there. So in the meantime, I'm learning, okay, what more of me has to die? I can remember a time where I was really frustrated with a person and I wanted to have them kicked out of the church. I wasn't the pastor. I was just, you know, one of the guys working here and serving. And this person was mean, really mean-spirited. And I got a list of scriptures as to why we should kick this person out. Because, JR, you would be in this person's seat. Because you sat right here. And she would ask, she would cuss you out until you moved. She was just mean to people, and she would just yell at people, and everything was like, oh, my gosh. So I thought, we need to kick her out. That would be the best, because she's so mean-spirited, and she's not changing. So I had these scriptures. So I thought, well, I'll go tell Pastor Dave, say, give him a good reason as to why we should do this. And the Lord asked me, as I'm looking up these scriptures, the Lord said, what are you doing? I said, well, Lord, you know, this lady, she needs to go. And this is what the Lord said to me. He said, how do you know she's not there for you? I'm like, how is this got to be about me? I'm not a mean person. He says, how do you know that she's not there to perfect love in you? I'm like, Lord, why are you going to make it about me?
He said, because I want to teach you to love people. You know, that lady moved and left a long time ago. She still comes to my home once in a while because she's the Lord's friend. God does not give up on us. He'll continue to work in us so that it's less of me and more of him. I see y'all, all you old folks kind of figure out who it was I'm talking about. It doesn't matter. It could be you. See, we've got a less of me, more of him. But it takes a godly desire to want to change. A godly desire. You've got to have a godly desire to want to change. When Delon and I came back to the Lord, I had a real desire in my heart to change. I really did. I did not like who I was. I wanted to really change my life. And I came on Sundays. I'd sit through both services that we had on Sunday. I'd be here on Wednesday night. If they had anything else that I could come to, I would be here because I really want to change my life. I don't want to be the same. I still don't want to be the same. I still want to constantly grow in Jesus. Amen. I still want to press forward in God, and I want to know him so supernaturally. I want to know him the way the disciples knew him. It's a process of growing. It's that desire to change. It can't just be to change my situation today or to help me to get through a problem. It has to be a total transformation for my eternity. It's the transformation as in the butterfly. A metamorphosis that happens. We're transformed. It happens because we stop living to feed our flesh and we start living to feed our spirit. That's what we need to have. I'm alive in Christ, amen? You're alive in Christ. We go through a mindset change. That's what needs to happen. See, because we have this battle, carnally minded versus spiritually minded. We have that battle. It goes on. And one brings death, and the other one brings life and peace. One brings death, and one brings life and peace. What do you want? Why do we keep choosing the carnal way? We don't have to. We tend to go with what we know, though. So, like, when I first got saved, you know, and I'm trying to do my best, but, you know, protection mode kicks in. You know, and you revert back to an old nature to protect you. Like, when, you know, you've been hurt all your life, and you became so angry because of the hurt that was in your life, that whenever you knew somebody was going to hurt you, you got angry as a protection mode to against getting hurt again. And so if we don't transform, if we don't allow God into that area of our life, every time somebody comes against us and we feel like hurt is coming our way, we get angry and angry comes out. And it's like it just pops out and you're like, and people are like, wow, where'd that come from? Because we revert back to that old nature in protection mode, but we've got to allow the Spirit of God into that old area of our life, that hurt area of our life that says, you know what? When people are coming against you, you need to just start loving them. You need to start pouring out the love of God. And we say, oh, I don't know, you know. But when you start letting your guard, taking that wall down of anger and frustration in your life and filling it with the love of God, then you're able to step out and to truly love people, no matter what they're doing. We can really love people. And that's what God is calling us to as the body of Christ. Really love people, everybody. Not everybody, though, will get excited about your transformation. Not everybody will go, wow, you've really changed. Man, you're doing so good. Not everybody will be excited. I remember, man, as we were growing in the Lord, I had people that come around me and say, and they always brought up the remember when. Remember when you used to do this? And remember when you used to do that? I told Delonda, I'm not hanging out with them no more. I don't want to be reminded of my past every time I get around these people. And some of them were family. You know, they'd say, well, remember when you were, you know, and I was like, yeah, but I've been set free. I've been transformed. I'm not that person anymore. And it's hard for people to let it go. And not everybody wants to go there Because it can be difficult, because sometimes you're going to go through trials. You're going to go through tribulations that are going to test what's happening inside of you. You say, I'm not going to be angry anymore. You come to this altar and you confess, God, I'm done with anger. I'm never going to be angry again. You walk out that door and somebody's going to cross you. It always happens. It's like, whoa, where did that come from? And then you can feel it boiling up inside of you. And then you remember what you said. I'm never going to be angry again. You get tested. The enemy tries to rob it from you. Because if he can rob it from you quickly, it won't go in. But if he can't rob it from you, he can't rob it from you unless you let him. Don't let him. You are transformed. You're transformed. You're not under condemnation. You're a new creation. Amen? Christ is alive inside of you. So you don't have to go with the old way of doing things. You know, as I've been reading this week, I got in Deuteronomy chapter 9. Pastor Alfred in Africa sent this to me this week. And it says, Hear, O Israel, you are to cross over the Jordan today and go in to dispossess nations greater and mightier than yourself, cities great and fortified up to heaven, a people great and tall, the descendants of the Anakim, whom you know and whom you've heard, it said, who can stand before the descendants of Anak? Therefore, understand today that the Lord your God is he who goes over before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them and bring them down before you. So you will drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said to you. See, the Israelites were facing giants. They were facing people that were bigger than them. They had cities fortified to heaven, it says. They had these fortified cities. And God said, hey, I just want you to cross over, and I'm going to do it for you. You cross over. You believe what I'm telling you. You receive what I'm telling you. And when you cross over, you're going to just wipe them out. I know they're bigger, they're badder, they're meaner, they're uglier than you. But I'm going to do it. And then he goes on in Deuteronomy and he says, and it's not because you're so righteous. He says, I'm going to do it because they're so evil. And what I want to tell you today, God has done it for you. God has destroyed the enemy for you. God has done supernatural work for you. He beat death on the cross. He washed away our sins. He's healed our diseases. God has done it. Now it's up to us to say, I'm crossing over. I'm going into the other side. I'm going to go where God says is mine. I'm going to walk out in my life what God says I can walk out in. I'm not going to receive what the enemy's been trying to put on me any longer. I'm going to believe the word of God. When you're filled with the Spirit, your flesh is dead. It's dead. Everybody say dead.
Dead.
When you're filled with the Spirit, you're made righteous. You are the righteousness of God here on this earth. You are the light of the world. You've got to start believing that and taking that in. I am the light of the world. Everybody say that. 1, 2, 3.
I am the light of the world.
You are. And the only reason that you battle is your flesh wants to live. It wants to have its own way. Your flesh wants to rise up, and that's when we have to take authority. That's when we've got to realize. And the only way that I've come to realize it is I've spent time with the Lord. I've spent time in His Word. I've worshipped Him, and so that I could hear. And I can hear Him say, do you really want to watch this? Nope. Because listen, if God asks you a question, because Delonda will play the Lord for me sometimes. So I say, do you really want to watch this? I said, no, ma'am. Because if she's asking me, I shouldn't be watching it. If the Lord is asking you, turn, 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 turn. We need to have the realization that our flesh can't live and can't have those selfish desires. it's dead. Jesus came as a man in the flesh, and he beat sin and death. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit to live such a life. He empowered those around him to go and do what he was doing. He ascended to heaven to sit down at the right hand of God to forever intercede for us. He chose not to leave us as orphans, but to send another, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, who was with us. Jesus was with us, and now the Holy Spirit is in us. The Holy Spirit was sent to fill us and empower us to do what we could not do under the law. We are empowered to succeed in this life in the things of God and to have an abundant life. Pastor Jesse was up here saying, I believe in the abundant life of Christ. I believe that he wants us to have an abundance of him in every area. Don't limit God. Now, this is not a wish. I remember sharing this in college this last semester. And this lady looked at me, she goes, this better work. I'm like, it works in my life. But you just got to do it now. You just got to submit your life to Christ and do it. And it does work. That God is not a liar. Amen. I was reading my devotional today, and it was Kenneth Copeland. And Kenneth Copeland has seen so many miracles. And he said, you know, I used to get so frustrated because I'd pray for people, and then they wouldn't get healed. So he said, I got with God, and I said, why, God? Why, God? Why? Why? I pray for them. You know, why do some get healed and some don't? He said, some just don't know how to receive it yet. But keep praying for them, because there'll come a point when they'll receive it, and it'll happen. Sometimes it just takes time, and we got to open up our spirit to receive. It's not a wish. It's the truth of the kingdom, amen? It's what God is saying. In verse 11 in Romans 8, it says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. He will give life to your mortal body. If the Spirit dwells in you, he will heal you. And you say, well, you know, and I know there's some of you I've prayed a number of times, and I'm telling you, that's the Word of God. It's not Ron King's word. It's what God has said to us. He will heal you. He will give life to your mortal body. Get it in. Drink it in. Drink it in. Man, I'll tell you, if you've been battling disease or sickness, I'd put this up on your mirror. I'd speak it out every day. I'd say, I thank you, God, that you have filled me with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, and that you're giving life to this mortal man right here, right now, through your Spirit who dwells in me. And I thank you and I praise you for it right now, God. I'd take that scripture and I'd just blow it up every day and say, God, thank you that I'm alive in Jesus. Thank you that I am healed. Thank you, Jesus, that you've delivered me from the hands of the enemy and I'm alive. I'd start speaking life over myself instead of, you know, what we do, you know, we get up out of bed. Oh, Lord. Oh, God, help me.
What's wrong, honey?
Well, come on. Get up. If you can't make it to the mirror, put it on your nightstand. Put it in a frame. I was in this house, in this one place, and this guy wanted me to pray through his house. He wanted to start at a house church. And he had green construction paper all along his wall. And I'm like, you know, it wasn't the best decorations, you know. It was green construction paper with writing all over it. I said, what's with the decoration, you know? He says, we've surrounded ourselves with the word of the Lord. And they wrote the word of God on construction paper and just put it on a line all the way around the room. They were just surrounded by the word of God. So I was in one place where I'd been given the responsibility to build a facility out for a church. And so when it got to the point where we were going to put in the flooring, I said, I ordered a couple of buses. And after a Sunday service, I had all the people get on the bus and go to where we were building this facility. And when they got off the bus, they went in there, and we had black markers. I said, I want you to write the word of the Lord on the floor in this building. And that word is covered on that floor. You know what? I don't even think the church has that property anymore where I did it. So somebody is walking on the word of the Lord and they don't know it right now. Hallelujah. You get the word in you, amen? And he will give life to your mortal body. But you got to believe it. You got to believe it. Believe it till you get there. Amen? Because listen, Jesus never said to anybody, buddy, be healed, and they died. He never did that. He said, be healed, and they got up and walked. And I tell you today, God wants to do that through you. God wants to do that through you. This is not a wish. This is the word of the Lord to you today. God wants to do that through you. God wants to empower you with such empowerment that you start seeing the manifestation of the power of God move in your life. You just gotta walk in the Spirit. Galatians put it this way. Walk in the Spirit so you don't fulfill the lust of your flesh. Be so connected with God that you can't hear what your flesh is crying out for you to do. And it just takes death. Simple death. Death to our flesh. We can have victory in Jesus. The grace that comes into play is not based on how perfect we are, but how perfect He is. He is in us. Grace gives us a chance to get it right and to walk in the Spirit. It gives us a chance to be obedient to the Spirit and to thrive in the things of God. Let go of what limits you. Let go of all fear, amen? Let go of all anger and frustration. Let go of those things that are holding you back and step in to the possibilities with Jesus Christ today. Step into the victory that we have with Jesus. Because in Christ, we can do all things. All things are possible. Amen. I'm just amazed. And even Pastor Dave will tell you, I was a long-haired hippie kid that came in here. And, I mean, I had hair down to here in the front. You know, I used to just kind of lift it up to look at you or throw a hat on to keep it out of my face. And I would have never thought that God would do in me what he's done. The only thing that I've done is I said yes when he's asked me. I just said yes. I didn't say, oh, I can't do that. I didn't say, oh, no, Lord, I can't go there. I just keep saying yes. And he keeps providing. He keeps making a way. He keeps empowering. How many of you say yes to the Lord today? If you say yes to the Lord today, just stand to your feet right now. Let's just raise our hands. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father God. Oh, hallelujah, God. Yeah, we say yes to you, God. Lord, you see us all here right now in this one place gathered together. Lord, just like in that upper room, Lord, they were gathered together in one place in unity. We're standing in unity today, God, believing, Lord, for great things to happen in us and through us, God. So I pray, Lord, where the enemy has come to bring condemning thoughts, to bring condemnation on the people of God, that, Lord, it would be loosed off right now in the name of Jesus. It'd go back to the pit from where it came. And Lord, because there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus and walk in the Spirit. And we're saying yes to you, Lord. We are walking in the Spirit. And Father, I pray that you strengthen every person here today. That, Lord, that today as we leave this place, we're leaving walking in the Spirit. Today we're being empowered by God to go and to do what he's called us to do. That, Lord, that we'll not shrink back. But Lord, we're being empowered by the Spirit of God. Strengthen each person here today, God. Help our mindsets to change and to be renewed. Lord, that we be transformed the way that butterfly was, the way that caterpillar was transformed into a beautiful butterfly. Father, do a supernatural work in us today. Let it flow. I pray, Father, for a holy boldness to rise up inside of every person here today. A holy boldness, Father God, that causes us to step out, to step up, to begin to soar with Jesus. And Lord, that we would just begin to soar with you the way that butterfly would. Lord, that we'd stop slugging on the ground and we'd start soaring with Jesus. All condemnation is just melting away right now in the name of Jesus. All fears are just being broken right now in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Just receive it right now in the name of Jesus. Just receive it right now in Jesus' name. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's just give the Lord a big hand clap today, huh? Just praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus, you are free. So go and be free, amen? Amen? And share your freedom with somebody. Now listen, we didn't have any visitors here today. That's on you. Okay? Bring somebody next week. Tell somebody what God is doing in your life. And let's fill these empty chairs up with visitors that you've invited. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday. Don't miss Wednesday night. You want to hear what I have to talk about on Wednesday night. So God bless you and have a great day.